I don't know about you, but COVID and lockdowns has a lot to answer for in our family. Anyway, because during those times, it was the cause of much strife. Much strife in terms of Lego. With the boys being at home, I went and got off eBay a big box of Lego. It was, you know, all sorts of sets just jumbled up all together. Do you know, but when I opened the box, it's quite a surprise how Lego has changed. Do you know, when I was a kid, Lego was made of about six colours. It was just a few bricks. It was a window. And if you're lucky, you got a tree. And so you could kind of make something, but it kind of looked like something. Whereas today, Lego has changed so much. I mean, these days when you build something, if it's going to come up, you know, it's, you can now build something that actually looks what it's supposed to look like, isn't it? It's become so diverse. Today, there's so much diversity in it. You know, we can build far more of what we used to be able to do. But the thing is, with my box, it was just a box of bits. There was no instructions, no pictures. What on earth am I going to do with this lot? You might want to use that one, Carl. It's fluffing me today. You can take that one off screen. This is a really good one, isn't it? This is not working today either. We love it. Anyway, in a way, churches are a bit like a box of Lego, made up of such a diverse selection of people. And if we don't know the end point, we won't know how we fit together or how we play our part within the role, purpose, and life of a church. But thankfully, Paul, in his letter to the Christians at Ephesians, sets out for us God's instruction manual, like a Lego instructions. And it gives us the endpoint, what we're all heading towards as God's people. And he shows us what that finished product looked like. It looks like a mature church. We're heading towards maturity. And he details how we get through that. And we get through that through our unity. Now, let me remind us a little bit, because it's a few weeks since we've looked at Ephesians, isn't it? And I know when we went through Ephesians, we kind of whistled through it. So I'm actually going back to one we didn't particularly look like. So let me briefly remind us. So the first three chapters of Ephesians, chapter 1 to 3, is very much about God's plan of salvation. How do we come to know our Lord and Saviour? They describe the new life that there is for us in Christ, and it describes the new community that there is in Christ. But in chapter 4, Paul now changes his directions, and he's now describing not only what God has done, but what is our response to what God has done for us in Christ. And that sort of that linking word, that word that's in the middle, the fulcrum, is chapter 4, verse 1, if you'd like to look at it for a moment. Forgive me, I've got the NIV because I was at All Saints this morning. I know you've got it in the ESV in front of us, but here, as the NIV says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So since God has called us into a new community, the way we live and what we believe is to reflect the values of God's new community. We are to walk the walk. Do you see that in verse 2 and 3? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Do you see in there our role in the peace and the unity of us as a church? But we're not only to walk the walk. What we believe is also to be unified. Our theology matters. We are, in a way, to talk the talk. Verses 4 and 5. There is one body. And just feel the unity in these verses. Sorry, I know I'm reading it in the NIV. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Feel the unity in that, and this is what God's people are unified in. And of course, Paul's addressing us as a whole community. As a community, we are to walk the walk and to talk the talk together. So chapters 4 and 5 and 6 very much detail how we are to live once we have become a Christian. Let me state the obvious. It is a list of things of what Christians do. They are not the things that make someone a Christian. Paul's detailed that already in the first three chapters, because doing things is not what makes us a Christian. It's about accepting what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. For Jesus is the one through whom God forgives us all that we are and gives us all that we need to be. So to become a member of God's community is about realizing that there really is a God, the King of the universe, that we need to realize that we do reject his kingship, living life our own way, ignoring him, speak to the hand, God, I'm not interested in you, God. That is treason against a king, our king. And as treason in this country is punishable by death, so God will punish all those who commit treason against him, which is all of us, isn't it? But God, who is rich in mercy, forgives all those who truly repent of their sins, saying, sorry, Lord, from living my life my own way. We repent. That's a turning away from our old way of life and turning to live the life as God wants us to, his blueprint as revealed through God's word. Such is the grace of our God. So if Christ Jesus went to the cross to unite a new humanity, reconciled to God, brought back into relationship with him, well, it's no surprise, is it, then Paul teaches that it's through our unity that we as a church reach maturity. The real surprise, however, is that God's route to maturity through unity is through our diversity. I had fun this week with the words, didn't I? Maturity through unity by our diversity. So instead of achieving unity through making everyone the same, we're all different. I mean, just look at us. Look around. We're a motley crew, aren't we? Sorry, I include myself in that. But that's the beauty of it, isn't it? There is beauty in our diversity, and it's through our diversity that God brings us to maturity through our unity. Say that at the end of the day. But notice this unity again in verse 7. But to each one of us in this room, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. God gives from his grace gifts to each one of us, and they are unique to us. We're not all the same. We are different. And that great phrase, isn't it? The great phrase in chapter 4. Let me just read it out. The ESV is helpful. So when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. That picture there, we actually see a bit of it on earth here. Just think about your favourite sports team who've won a great competition, or even when people come back from being abroad or something like that. This is open top bus, isn't there? There's people on the bus, you can click it, and there's ticker tape coming down, the fans are going wild, there's great fanfare, there's noise. In a way, that's what's being pictured here in these few verses. The spiritual context is that Jesus has conquered death. He is the one who's taken the punishment for sin and defeated it on the cross. He defeated Satan. He is the victorious king. He's the one arriving back at home to great fanfare and great joy and celebration. How amazing is that? But now that Jesus has the victory, he now lavishes upon us his gifts of grace, his grace gifts to each one as he chooses. And these gifts enable his people to live on earth in light of that victory. You can take it down. Thank you. Now, if we are wondering what those gifts are, look at verse 11. Christ himself gave, what did he give? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, we've got shepherds, it's all pastors, pastor teachers. For what purpose? To equip his people for works of service. To what end? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I wonder if you sense there's three sort of layers, three parts to three stages to our maturity. Christ gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. The effect of their ministry is to prepare us for works of service so that we as a church are built up and become mature in our faith and knowledge of God. So let's look at each stage. The thing that unites and moves us towards unity and maturity in our diversity is also the word of God. Now, looking at verse 11, did you see the four individuals there? Can you notice what is connecting those four individuals? What is similar about all of them? They're about communicating the word of God. Now, if God spoke and creation came into being, it's no surprise, is it, that it's through the words of God that we become mature through our unity. And if we look at those first two roles there, you've got apostles and prophets. Now, we know from chapter 2, verse 20, how they were the foundation. They are the foundation on which the church was built upon. And from chapter 3, verse 5, they are described as the ones who had and revealed to them the mystery of Christ, a mystery that had been hidden before, but has now been revealed as Christ has come here. So you've got the apostles and prophets. These two ministries are very much the foundation on which the church was then built. So the prophet here is not just any old prophet that has a word from the Lord that we come across today. And the apostles here aren't just somebody who fancies themselves as a modern day apostle. These are the apostles and the prophets from the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who were the foundation on which the church today is built upon. It is their testimony that we have recorded in God's word, of which unites us as well as God's people. And so therefore, in terms of these prophets and apostles, there are no successors. But along from these two foundational word ministries, we've got then the evangelists and the pastor teachers, or the shepherd teachers, as we have it in the ESV. So he says, Paul says, Christ gave some to be evangelists and some to be pastor teachers. Now, evangelists, we know primarily their role, don't we? They are the ones who are really good at communicating the gospel to unbelievers and bringing them to a decision. You know, it's important that people are given the opportunity to respond to Christ, whether that's in positive and getting to know him as Lord and Saviour, or even if they reject him. We need to ensure that everybody has an informed decision about the things of Christ. And evangelists are those who are specifically gifted in that. And we have our pastor teachers. I dare say I'm your pastor. I am your pastor. And therefore God has gifted me to you, to look after you, to shepherd you, to look after us in God's word and ensure that together we are unified and coming to the maturity that there is in Christ. And it is the word through which we are unified through. We won't find unity as we try to build our church around a figurehead. I'm sure some of us know of churches where they've got a really well-known leader. And the strength of the church is known when that the Lord moves that leader on, it's not anything against the leader, but the church then falls apart. Our human nature has aligned ourselves behind an individual rather than a collective. Or even if we try to unite ourselves through just being people, that doesn't hold us together either, because we soon find out we're quite different, aren't we? And we disagree with each other from time to time. So what do we unify around? We unify around God and his word. So what does that mean? That means when we do find disagreements, and we will disagree from time to time, what do? We humbly together come before God's word, not to bash it round each other's heads, but to submit to it. What does God's word have to say to us in the circumstance we find ourselves disagreeing upon? So our maturity through unity comes through our diversity, comes through the word, but it also comes through us serving. Did you see that? So if unity begins with the ministry of particular individuals, it continues by the response of the rest of us as a body of believers. Do you see that in verse 12? So the impact of the teachers of God's word is to prepare all of God's people for works of service. Verse 16 similarly says, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So when God's word is faithfully taught, it doesn't act like a lullaby sending us off to sleep. Actually, just checking if anybody has nodded off. What's the role of God's word? It's to spur us into action, isn't it? The teaching of the Bible isn't just to fill our heads with knowledge. Yes, it's important that we know God, but from our knowledge of God, we are to show God and to share God. You probably notice I use that phrase quite a lot. It's important. As we come to know God, as we fill ourselves with his word, it doesn't just stay there. It will have an effect on the way we live our lives. So we will to know him, to show him, and then we want to share him with the people we see in our daily lives. So when we hear a sermon and decide, you know, I really need to get involved, I need to be part of the welcome team, I want to get involved in maybe the youth work, maybe I need to do more in terms of my finances and the church, maybe I should get involved in a home group or a prayer group, I wonder if there's a role I can play in church. That's the word doing its work, teaching us that we should be willing to act upon the word and be ready for acts of service. When it's an end of a Bible study and we notice that somebody's not with us today and we're called to go home and pray for them and phone them up, or maybe there's somebody we haven't seen for a while and we just say, you know, I need to phone. That is God's word preparing us for a work of service in the unity and maturity of our community. So God, through his word, persuades us what needs to be done for the sake of our community. Because if we as individuals don't do that together for the whole, it will affect the whole. Your greatest prayer for need is my personal holiness. Because if I am not committed to God and his word and my own personal holiness, that will affect us as a church. Similarly, each one of us as individuals, because we play our part in the bigger picture, we will have effect on the body as a whole. Do you know, a few years back, I developed a prolapse disc. Some of you have probably done that. It's quite common. It's much better. But over time, I hadn't realised it had weakened the muscle on my right leg. It's just the way it was affecting me walking. So much so that in the middle of the end of last year, I stepped out the back of our van, bringing a piece of equipment out. My leg twisted, and I took the cartilage off my tibia. Sorry for details. Because one bit wasn't working rightly, it had a knock-on effect. I'm not wanting sympathy, by the way. It's just, you know, we all know that thing, isn't it? One part of our body doesn't go well, and it has a knock-on effect. And that's the same. We are a body of believers. And if one of us is not very well spiritually, that will have a knock-on effect. But what does the rest of us do? Respond to that. Let's get on Matthew 18, brilliant, telling us what do we do to get alongside someone and help us, each other, to build each other up in love and unity. So if you and I are disobedient to the word of God, if we resist the service that God calls us to and we fail to play our part, we will hinder the body of Christ. Maturity comes through unity, by our diversity, through the word, and by serving one another, as verse 13 brings out for us. We all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Wouldn't you want to be part of a church like that? That doesn't mean you walk out the door, sorry. It's what we're aiming for, isn't it? We should be praying for us as a church. How wonderful if we could say of St. Richard's that as a church it has reached unity and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. What a picture. Should we not be praying for that? I know a lot of you, if not all of us, are praying for that. And if we're going to pray that prayer, don't be surprised if God makes you the answer to that prayer as well, that we may build each other up in love. I wonder if we think enough about these terms as a church, together as a community. Maybe think about what we are as a church, but we do that from an individualistic point of view. I would like church to be this way. We've all done that. I've certainly done that. This is the way I want church to be. But I wonder if we dream the dreams for our community as a community, as we want to be the light of God into the wider community that God has placed us into, wanting us to be mature and whole as a community rather than ourselves. Because God did not create our community or church community for us. He created us for his church community. Each one of us is gifted to a church and gifted personally in a way to serve in that church, that together we become mature and united and growing into the fullness of Christ. It's the reason I chose our verse of the year. Sorry, I've forgotten a prop. I'll happen to pick one that doesn't have it. Do you remember what was on each of our verse of the year cards? A puzzle piece. And what was that puzzle off? Of? It was the church. Each of us, very good reason I did that. Each one has our part to play, but that part is in the wider body of Christ. How did I pick one without the puzzle on? That's hilarious. Sorry. But that's why I did that. It is part of us joining together, building each other up in love to become the community God wants us to be. And Paul, in verses 14 to 16, then goes on to show what are the marks of a mature church. And they are stability. They are truth. They are love. They are growth and interdependence. A mature church will be a stable church, not vulnerable to new waves of teaching that flow through. They've got that picture there of infants being tossed around in a sea, just thrown out, not able to stand. A mature church speaks the truth. We take the Bible seriously and seek to encourage one another and build each other up through the Word of God. And that truth is spoken in love. That means we're not, you know, acting like you get the heresy police and spot error and wave a finger. That's not. We'd speak the truth in love. A loving Christian is someone who cares enough about their brother, that sister, that when they find that something they need help with, they get alongside them, build them up, and seek to make them more like Christ. A mature church is a church that grows, both in terms of its maturity, in its number, and in its strength. And a mature church also recognises its interdependence. Whether you like it or not, you need me. And whether I like it or not, I need you. And that's what it is to be community, isn't it? Together, needing one another, building each other up in love. We are not isolated individuals. We are part of the local body of Christ. And it's from Christ the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. So we belong to one another. So as I close, let us ask ourselves, are we just like a random piece in that box of Lego, just rattling around and has little purpose, no idea what it's it for or what it could end up as? Are we part of a beautiful construction that was called St. Richard's? And are we praying for that construction? And are we willing to be part of the church that God is building to serve this part of Crowborough? And it's exactly what we're doing later on today, isn't it? Thinking about how would God like to use us and the potential for a new building to support and make him known in the community that is around us. So maybe this morning, maybe we are too much on the outside. Maybe we feel that. What would God have you respond? What would God's word have you respond by doing this morning? Well, getting involved. It's a determination to really belong to the body here at St. Richard's. Or maybe we belong, but our belonging's a bit passive. So maybe the Lord is saying, look, there's an area that you can serve into. And if you don't know what that is, have a chat with me. Have a chat with Trish. We'll always find you something to do. Trish has got a massive smile on her face. So I suggest we all go and see her later. But maybe we are involved, but our renewal is amount is going to affect our bank accounts. And we need to consider before the Lord what we'd have us give to the work of the church here and through our church abroad. Perhaps we need to speak the truth in love more often rather than just being harsh with one another. Maybe it's time to encourage each other in every way that we can. However the Lord will speak to you this morning, let's remind ourselves of how good our God is. He has gifted each one of us to this church. He has given us gifts to use and serve through this church that we may mature through our unity, even though we are diverse, through God's word and through serving one another, so that we are a church that is known for its stability in God's word, the truth, we stand on God's word, our love for one another, we're growing and we're interdependent.